beginning at verse 23, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.'" There was a knock on his bedroom door. "Go away," he said, as he pulled the covers over his head. The knock continued. Finally, his mother opened the door and sat on the edge of his bed. "It's time to get up. It's Sunday morning. It's time to go to church." "But Mom, I don't want to go to church. The people there are brutal. They're cruel. They say bad things about me. They don't like me." "You have to go to church." "Well, give me two reasons why I should go to church." "Well," the mother replied, "number one, it's Sunday. And Sunday is the day that we honor the Lord. We assemble ourselves together honoring Him. And number two, you're the pastor." From time to time, every one of us in the ministry is vulnerable or has a tendency to become embittered. We might become embittered because of people that are linked to us. Or perhaps we become embittered because of circumstances that surround us. Today we have dedicated this day to talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, helping us to be the witnesses, motivating us to do the work of reaching out to a world that needs to hear the gospel. But you know, bitterness can be a barricade, can be a blockade in hindering the Holy Spirit in moving through us or working in us. Many times people are seeking to be filled, when in reality what they have need of is to be emptied. And bitterness is one of those things that in the ministry, from time to time, each one of us has a vulnerability towards becoming embittered. Now, in the story before us, the people of Israel were dealing with bitterness, physically, literally. The Lord had gotten His people out of Egypt. For the next several months, over several hundred miles of wilderness, the Lord led His people on a pilgrimage in order to teach them certain lessons. This was, of course, before their sin at Kadesh Barnea, which resulted in being sentenced to a 40-year death march. But here the Lord, in chapters 13 through 19, is leading His people in the wilderness to prepare them for the promised land. And that's exactly why we are in this wilderness, this world. The Lord is preparing us, stretching us, equipping us for eternity. Now, it was relatively easy for the Lord to get His people out of Egypt. The trick was getting Egypt out of His people. And that took them through a series of stops in the wilderness. One of them, in our text before us, was at a place called Marah. They had been in the wilderness, wandering for several days, and the people were thirsty. No doubt their lips were parched. Their mouth was dry. And the people began to murmur. They cried out. They murmured. I like that word murmur. It just sounds like what it is, murmur. Murmuring about their situation, murmuring about their circumstances. And the Lord led them to a place called Mara. Mara means bitterness. The Lord led them to that place. They just didn't happen to find it by chance. They were directed by the Lord to Mara. And no doubt as they saw that pool of water, perhaps hundreds of them ran towards the water. All right, refreshment, satisfaction, release, wonderful. And as they took a deep drink of that water that they thought was going to refresh them, they spit it out and found that it was bitter. I can't tell you how many times that I have seen a pool off in the distance. All right, this is going to be refreshing. This is going to be fulfilling. This is going to be satisfying. And you take a drink of it and you find out it's Mara. It's bitter. Note, the Lord led them to that place. And perhaps today you are going through a bitter circumstance. Or perhaps you will tomorrow. I don't know. But if you're not today, tomorrow you'll be there. Because the Lord brought them there, it says, to prove them. He brought them to the place of bitterness. He led them to that bitter experience in order to prove them. Now, the Lord did not have need to see what was inside of them. He already knew. The Lord knows what's inside of me as well. But He allows me to come to Mara after Mara after Mara that I might see what's inside of me. That's the key. In Oregon, we occasionally, once in a great rare while, have cold, wintry weather. And on those cold, wintry days, I take my coffee mug and I fill my mug with hot herb tea or hot cocoa. And I place the mug on the floor of my car and I drive over to the fellowship. And sometimes on that drive, I hit a pothole or a bump. And the herb tea or the cocoa comes spilling out all over the floor of the car. Now, the bump or the pothole did not really cause the cocoa to be in the cup or the herb tea to be in the cup. The bump simply revealed what was already there. When you and I are cruising down the road of life, we encounter bumps, disappointments. We think, oh, this elder is going to bring great refreshment to our leadership team. Or this staff person is going to be the answer to the expansion of ministry. Or this program is really going to be anointed. And suddenly, we find that it didn't quite work out that way. And then we have the opportunity to see what's already inside of us by what comes out during those times, you see. The situation doesn't create the bitterness. It's already present, and the Lord brings us to Mara to simply reveal to us what's already going on inside of us. And when I find myself murmuring and complaining, when I find myself griping, it means those things were already present within my spirit, and the Lord brought me to Mara to reveal it to me, to prove it. Now, the Lord, after allowing the people to see where they were at, gave a solution, gave an answer to that problem. He showed Moses a tree. Notice it doesn't say He created a tree. The tree was already there. And He showed Moses the tree and said, now cast the tree into the waters. And the waters miraculously, beautifully, wonderfully were made sweet. I love it. In that bitter situation, perhaps it's the people you're linked to, a relationship, a person in your church that's coming down on you, criticizing you, mad at you. In that bitterness, we can have solution if we do what Moses did, and that is add the tree to the waters. Now, what is the tree? Of course, the tree speaks of Calvary. Peter told us in his epistle that he bore our sins upon the tree. You see, oftentimes when somebody criticizes me or comes down on me or misunderstands me, the tendency in my flesh is to say, Lord, this isn't right. Lord, bring justice in this situation. Lord, deal with this matter. Justice, the price must be enacted. And the Lord whispers in my heart, Johnny, there already has been justice. The price has already been paid. The tree. I died for that sin which is bugging you. That shortcoming which is irritating you. That flaw which is causing turmoil within you. That sin which is bothering you, John, I already absorbed personally. I took it specifically. I paid the price for it completely. Do you recall what Brother Paul wrote to Philemon concerning Onesimus, the runaway slave? In that beautiful little postcard, the Apostle Paul wrote to Philemon and said, if Onesimus has wronged thee, charge it to my account. And brothers, I believe that Jesus would say to us today, if that elder, that staff member, that person in your church has wronged you, charge it to my account. I've paid for it. And somehow when I see the tree, when I take the cross and add it to the water and really say, yes, Lord Jesus, you did pay for that sin specifically, and you paid for that sin adequately, somehow it creates within me a sweetness. I can embrace that person. I can be tolerant with that person. I can love that person because I realize that justice has indeed already happened. See the tree, brothers. Don't allow bitterness to get a root in your hearts. See the tree. It might not be a person. It might be a circumstance. Some circumstance or situation is just really bittering to you. Why am I living in Alaska, you might say? Or why am I living in Oregon? Or Southern California? Or why is my salary such? Or why isn't this happening or that taking place? And we can become embittered about circumstances. Listen, see the tree. Jesus, our Lord, said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Whoever lives for himself will lose his life, but whoever loses his life for my sake, the same shall find it. That's what our Lord said. If you're in Alaska or Oregon or Southern California, wherever you might be, whatever circumstances might seem embittering to you, see the tree. It's a chance for you to die. In the 60s, it was find yourself. In the 70s, it was improve yourself. In the 80s, for us brothers, it must be forget yourself. Die to self. Because Jesus went on to say something radical. He said, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So if there's an unpleasant circumstance, I can say, Lord, thank you. I get to die. I get to die a little more here. And thus I can embrace the suffering. I can embrace that circumstance that previously would have made me murmur. But now I can bless the Lord for it. See the tree. Whether it's personal relationships or circumstances, add the cross. It's so simple, but yet it's so very significant. The cross. The cross of Jesus. Our Lord on Calvary, paying for those sins which offend us. Our Lord on Calvary telling us and calling us men to take up the cross and follow Him likewise. and the waters became sweet. One more thing to note here. The Lord then gave revelation to the people. He revealed Himself for the first time as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Boy, Leo said it last night so well. It's in the time of tribulation that we have real revelation. When you're at the maras, the tough places, the disappointing spots, that's when you have real revelation. You understand who the Lord is and what He is. When John was on Patmos, it was there that he had revelation. And when you are on that rocky, forsaken island that you feel that you're placed on, praise be to our Lord, He'll give you revelation. What did He reveal? I am Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Could it be the reason that the Lord revealed Himself as the God who heals at this point is because there is an intimate, intricate connection between the people's tendency towards murmuring and their potentiality in sickness and disease? We are finding physiologically today that if a person's attitude is bad, if there's bitterness in his heart, if he's upset, full of tensions, that he becomes vulnerable and susceptible to all sorts of diseases, including heart problems and even some cancers. And could it be that the Lord here is saying in connection with this place of bitterness, listen, I am the Lord that heals you, wanting to keep us from letting bitterness eat at us physically, spiritually, and mentally. The ancient Chinese knew this. In the old ancient dynasties of China, they hired doctors to keep them well. And you paid your doctor to keep you healthy. If you were sick, the doctor paid you. Wouldn't that be something? It was the physician's responsibility to give the proper herbs and good nutrients to keep people healthy. And if they failed, then they had to pay out of their pockets. And if a person died prematurely, then over his shop, if you would, a little lantern was placed next to his name, a little lantern painted. And if there was too many little lanterns painted next to that doctor's name, people could see the light, quite literally, and stay away from him. Our God is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals thee. And I suggest to you today that perhaps this might be a day in which He wants to keep us from becoming sick and withered, anemic and impotent spiritually, by having us see the tree and whatever Mara you might be at, to add the cross personally, circumstantially, and let the waters become sweet. The Lord says, I have brought you here for an ordinance and a testimony, literally a heritage. I've brought you here to give you history. I'm making you rich in how to deal with circumstances which bug and irritate others so that you will be able to be rich in the things of Me and prepared for eternity. Add the cross. Add the cross and let the waters be made sweet. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we confess to You freely and candidly that many times there are those situations or personality conflicts which can create bitterness within our hearts. Perhaps, Lord, that bitterness is already there and it's already overflowing from our lives in the bumps, in the trials that we have. Forgive us, Father. Father, thank You for Your mercy. How I appreciate that. I thank You, Lord, that like the Apostle Paul, we can forget that which lies behind. That we don't have to be haunted or hounded by our past mistakes, but that Your blood is sufficient, is powerful and adequate. And now I pray, Lord, as we move into this day of
opening up our hearts and our minds to greater measures of the work of Your Spirit. That You would not allow bitterness towards people or bitterness towards situations to barricade that which You want to do in our lives. By the power of Your Spirit, bring conviction, Lord. Bring healing. Blow out, Lord, any barricade in my heart, in our hearts. And may we just be open to receive all that You have for us, all that You want to do through us and in us. May Your Spirit move. Right now, I think it would be good for us to take just a couple of minutes to quietly converse with the Lord, just you and the Lord, and ask Him to show you any points of bitterness, any Mara tendencies that are in your life, and confess it. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Allow the Holy Spirit to convict now and just commune with Him just for a few moments. Again, Lord, we thank You for Your grace. And Father, I anticipate in my heart, in the hearts of my sisters and brothers, fresh filling today, fresh anointing today. Hallelujah. We anticipate that, for we ask that according to Your grace, for Your purposes, and in Your authority, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right now, we're going to take just a few minutes with a group this size. It's difficult to pray as a full group of brothers and sisters. So we're going to take a few minutes and get into circles of, let's say, no more than five or six. Just go ahead and get into circles right now and join hands and just share conversationally in prayer, just for a few minutes, praising, worshiping, communing with the Lord. Shall we stand together and get into circles and just give ourselves and our day to the Lord? The Lord is good. The Lord is really good. I mean, really, really good. I mean, where would we be without the Lord? We'd be stuck in Mara's, being embittered and critical and cynical and out of it. Which leads me to my introduction of Bill Ritchie, the moderator of the day. Bill's going to come on up and share with us what's in store for the rest. Not really, Bill. A beloved, great man of God, Bill Ritchie.
Huh? We have an announcement, first of all. Larry Peltier, you've got two ladies hot on your trail. You're supposed to call either Holly or Edwina as soon as you can. Now, it seems to me that the scripture that is a key for today, we have put as a topic for today, reaching out and in the power of the Spirit. And it seems to me that Acts 1:8 is critical to everything. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We are concerned to have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the exciting thing to know is that He promises to give us that power as we are open to Him and open to receiving Him. We're also excited to know that He gives us the means to use that power. And He helps us to know how to use it appropriately. And that's really what we're going to be sharing in during the rest of the day. We're going to have an opportunity this morning to hear from Dr. Guy Duffield about things of the Spirit, and then also early this afternoon from another great man of God, Dr. Van Cleve, who will be sharing about that. And then we're going to be seduced by David Hunt at, that's not right. He's going to talk to us about the seduction of Christianity later this afternoon. And then tonight, we're all really looking forward to the things that Chuck is going to be sharing with us as it relates to ministering in things of the Spirit in our local fellowships. As we were planning this retreat, we felt that that was so important, so critical, that we deal with that issue and that Chuck be the one who really deal with that. So we're looking forward together for that. Let's take some time now to have a break, and we'll meet back here at 10:30 straight up and go for it.
This is the end of Side 2 and the end of this message. For further information on tapes, contact Chapel Tapes, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628.